know some of you are sitting for exams. Let me ask you, don't look at the bulletin. What's the theme for the year? Come on. What's the theme for the year? Rise and serve, right? And be a channel of God's blessing. Right? And thank you. I think it's wonderful. I think many of you remember. You know, I for the past few weeks, we've been looking at a particular theme, because we realize, I think, God has always called us, you know, with a particular purpose in mind. And God wants us to be faithful servants, right? People involved in ministry. God wants us to be vibrant in our ministry, effective in our ministry. He wants us to make a difference. Like last week also, we were looking at, you know, Christians are always contagious people, right? Don't go near them, because they are contagious. They will spread the news of Jesus Christ, because they're Christians, right? They're always on fire. They want to share the good news that is in them. And so Christians are contagious people, and that's how the Word of God sees. And I'm going to continue with one more today, right, to looking at Matthew chapter 20, from 25 to 28. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time. Father, we thank you once again, O God, for your Word. We can have access to your Word. We pray, God, as we look at your Word, we ask that your Spirit will continue to speak to us, Father. Allow us, O God, to hear just your voice alone. We want to be inspired by your Spirit. We realize, O God, that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Lord, send us, as Isaiah said, send me, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want you to take a moment, right? Let me try some psychology with you, right? I'm just going to use certain words, and I just want you to imagine for a while, okay? 10 million dollars. Just imagine. 10 million dollars you are given. Or, you know, whatever it is, you can imagine. I like the second one. Cruise ship. And I like the third one also. BMW 7 Series, not the 3 Series. Just take a moment. $10 million. Cruise ship. It's nice to be away during winter. BMW. Thank you. Right. Let's stop. Right. You know, when I was using the word, what was just happening in your mind? Many a times, what happens by default? Right, when I say $10 million, you will be imagining that you have $10 million in your bank. Right? Wow, I have $10 million in my bank. Right? Secondly, when I was telling, you know, about cruise ship, you'll be thinking, wow, I'm just sitting by the balcony, just cruising, enjoying, wow, Alaska, so nice, right, to see the wonders. And if I tell you, BMW, I think you'll be just enjoying, wow, I have my own BMW, or maybe someone is driving my BMW. The reason I say this, you know, by default, as human beings, we always we don't see ourselves in the cruise ship working as a waiter, right? I know many of us would be thinking, you know, I'm just traveling in the cruise ship, just enjoying. I don't think so. Any one of us thought, you know, I'm a waiter. I'm just standing at the front door of the cruise ship and welcoming people, right? We are thinking, we're enjoying. And when I say $10 million, you know, I don't think so. People are thinking, you know, well, I got 10 million. I'm distributing all my 10 million and saying, go and enjoy. I don't want to have anything. Probably I'm also thinking that I need $10 million, right? If I'm saying BMW, some of you will be thinking, oh, I own my BMW. Maybe God should have given me a much more bigger car than that. you know, that's by default, we are like that. You know, we want to be served, right? We want to have, we want to be great, we want to have all these things in our life, because that's the way the world wants us. I think that's the way the world, you know, looks at us or even expects from us. The topic which I want to look today is serve Him. You know, when you look at the word leadership or serve, right? When you look at the word leadership, according to the world, it's totally different, right? You need to be dynamic. You need to be charismatic. You need to be in control. You need to be in command, right? You need to pilot the entire thing. You need to know everything. That's the way the world defines leadership. You are in control. You are the chief. You are the boss. You know everything. People listen to you. Others are your subordinates. That's the way the world looks at leadership. But when Jesus looks at leadership, it's about service. And that's why Christianity is totally radical, my friend. Right? Whenever you look at the word leadership, it's always service. It's service. It's serving God in a different way, not as the way the world looks at leadership. The passage that we just read, it's a wonderful passage. But before that, I think, you know, this writer says, he says, God did not save us to be a sensation, right? But God saved us that we will be a servant. Like many times we think, you know, God saved me because, you know, I should be emotional, happy, excited. Yes, that's wonderful, my friend. But the main purpose of God for saving us is not only to fill us with His joy and peace, but at the end of the day, become like Jesus Christ, right? To be a servant who's always serving, like what Jesus was doing. And that's the way God called us. The background to the passage that we just read today, it's about a mother. I think many of you know, the mother of two brothers, right, the sons of Zebedee, comes to Jesus and says, you know, Jesus, I want my two sons, right, one to sit on my on your right and the other to sit on my on your left. And I think many of us are aware of the conversation that Jesus was having with this particular lady, because she wanted a seat of authority. She wanted the son to be treated well, right, in high position. But then Jesus talks to her and says, it's my father who decides, and they are willing to take the cup of suffering. I think that's the conversation that Jesus was having. In verse 24 onwards, you read, the disciples were very upset. You know, how can these two guys, right? We have also given ourselves. We left our homes of comfort. You know, these two guys once places of prominence or importance. What about us? And so in verse 24 says they were upset, they were totally angry. And then in verse 25, 26 onwards, it says Jesus calls them to Him and He starts talking to them. He starts teaching them. He tells them the importance of serving. The importance of, you know, serving and serving the Lord. I think all of us want to be great, right? By default, we want to be great. We want to be someone known. We want someone, you know, we want to be visible. We want someone to recognize us, you know, as great people, people who know who as great leaders. But Jesus is calling them and saying, you know, the secret of greatness, the secret of greatness, to be recognized by God, and that God will one day look at us and say, you know, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my kingdom. Can you imagine that day when God says, you know, thou good and faithful servant? We want to be serving God in that capacity. Three things I thought we will briefly look at this particular passage. You know, in verse, the first verse, if you realize, verse 26, you realize it needs to be a fervent service. In other way, to be great, to be known, Jesus is saying that we need to be fervent in our service. Look at the word very carefully. Verse 26, it says, not so with you. So he's talking to the disciples. He says, instead, whoever wants to become great. The Greek word for the word great means mega, right? It's a very powerful word. Today, you use the word mega for mega churches, right? Mega ship and all that. That's the way Jesus is using the word. He uses the word mega. In other words, you know, the wise men were filled with mega joy when they saw Jesus Christ. And the disciples were afraid of the storm, mega fear that was happening. So Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, if you want to be recognized by God, if you want God to look at you and say, you know, your service is mega, you're wonderful, you're faithful. And so Jesus is talking to them and by saying, you know, and if you want to be mega, so it's not, Jesus is not talking about that if you want to be the great person. But Jesus is talking about if you want to be great in serving, my friend. Today we want to be known, which is wonderful. I'm not saying no, right? But Jesus uses using the word mega in the sense you need to be, you want to be great in serving. That, you know, God will say, you know, my child, that child is so great in serving. It's so excited. It's just fervent in service. We are going to have some Greek lesson today. He uses the word, right? And he says, among you. In other words, he's saying, if you want to be great among the disciples, right? And this is what you should be. And he uses the word diakonos, right? I think many, or some of you might know this particular word. It's about service. Diakonos means service. In the Greek word, if you look at it very carefully, if you bisect whatever, you know, you look at the word carefully, it's about, you know, it's a chosen service. In other words, the servant effectually chosen to serve. He have chosen and said, you know, I want to be involved in this particular ministry. Because not because I was compelled, I was just not coming in because there was a need. You know, I want to, right? I've decided I want to give myself to that particular service. Recently, I was having a coffee with a pastor in a nearby church. And so we were having a conversation. I learned something in our conversation. He said, so I when I was talking about leadership to him, he said, in his church, he doesn't go to people and ask them. He doesn't go to people and say, do you want to serve? Do you want to serve? He doesn't go around asking for people. I think that's what we do in our church. So I said, what do you do in your church? He said, I don't go asking around. I tell them there is a need and they need to come and apply. In other words, if they feel they are called, if they feel they want to serve the Lord, they come. I don't want to invite them and they make them feel, you know, I need to because, you know, what and this guy has been asking me. And so I learned something, right? It's something that it's, I'm not compelled, but I've made a choice. That's diakonos. I've made a choice to serve because I love Jesus Christ and I want to serve. Not because someone told me, not because, you know, because of the need that's around, but I just want to serve. It's in me. I want to be a diakonos. And the same word also, if you look at it, you know, it also, the particular word, it also means it's among you. In other words, I want to be collaborative. Not that I want to be a hero. Right? And sometimes if you realize some people are very egoistic in their service. It's them, no one else. I don't want anyone to come along. Right? I just want to be, it's more of an egoistic attitude. But the way diakonos is used, I want to collaborate. I want to build up the body of Christ together with my fellow brothers and sisters. That's collaborative kind of service that Jesus was talking about, my friend. Not like the sons of Zebedee, that they want position, power, but I want to collaborate. That's how Paul also looks at it when he uses, right, when he talks about the body of Christ. I want to work among people. I want to collaborate. I want to, you know, be there, help here, because I realize that my service is also important, or it's important in the sight of the Lord. Thirdly, it is conscientious service. In other words, very interesting. If you look at the word carefully, right? Diakonos, the last five words, konos, means in Greek, it means dust. It means, for example, you know, you don't see dust in our church because it's carpeted and every Thursday they come and vacuum the place. It means dust. It is covered with dust. So when you do the service, it's covered with dust. It means you're working hard, you're giving your more than 100%, you're hard working, that it tends to collect dust, my friend. That's the kind of service. I'm working hard because I want to serve the Lord. And the word diakonos in this passage is a present tense. In other words, you are not serving just for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. I'm just excited. I want to work hard. I give all my energy. That's why Paul says, you're bound in your love, and right, you labor in love. I just want to just labor in love, my friend, that I collect dust, right, and get myself involved in ministry. I think that's how Jesus wants us, right? He says, if you want to be great, if you want to be great in serving, you make this step. You tell yourself, I want to be involved. And I want to work together with the body, the church, right? At the same time, you know, I want to work hard, and I will continue working for the Lord. When I was in Singapore, you know, I was exposed to these navigators. In Singapore, many people are exposed to navigators. It's a discipleship thing that is done by the navigators. The former director, the founder of this organization, is called Dawson Trotman, and a very wonderful guy. I've not seen him, but I've read about him. He was the one who started Navigators. It's a very powerful movement on discipleship, and many Singaporeans are just fond of this training or even studies. I was reading a story about, you know, one time what happened. I think he went to Taiwan. Dawson went to Taiwan, and so it was very, it was wet, rainy, and he wanted to go on a mountain a trail. And so he called the Taiwanese pastor and said, you know, come along with me, show me the way. And so both of them walked. It was wet, muddy. And then, you know, they went to the retreat center. And they were there for some days. And then, you know, he went back. So some people asked the Taiwanese pastor, you know, how do you find this guy? You know, how do you find him? What is your impression about him? What did he do? And he said, you know, one thing actually, he has printed in my mind, is he cleaned my shoes when I went on the trip with him. Can you imagine the founder of Navigators? He stooped down to clean the shoes of this particular pastor. And he said, that is one thing I can never forget. This great man saw my shoes was full of mud, and he stood down, he cleaned my shoes, and I treasure that. I think that's what Jesus is trying to say, right? Dawson Trotman could have easily said, you know, why don't you get another pair of shoes, right? Being a white man, he could have easily said that, but he was willing, without being called, my friend, right? He was willing to take the dirt away from the shoes of this Taiwanese pastor. That's what diakonos means. It's not just service alone. It's a service where you say, you know, I want to serve with joy, with gladness, right? And I want to work along. Secondly, Jesus is also talking about not only fervent service, right? I think he calls us as Christians, right, not only to be involved in fervent service, but he's also saying that you need to be faithful in your service. It's faithfulness. It's, you know, someone asked Mother Teresa, you know, the success of a ministry. She said, don't use the word success. She said, it's about faithfulness. Right? Many times, success of ministry is always seen, or, you know, it's equal to the number of people in the church. If it's a mega church, then we say it's successful. If you have a lot of numerous ministries and initiative, it's successful, but it's about faithfulness. And so Jesus is also using the word, you know, to be faithful in our service, and that's what God is expecting from us. You know, secondly, if you look at it, you know, he says, and whoever wants to be first, right? Petros, right? He's using the word petos. Petos, yeah. It means, right, if you want to be first in position, if you want to be recognized by God by saying, you know, that guy, that child, right, he is my choice. Right? Because he has served. And that's the way the word is used here, right? You know, and if you want to be, I think all of us want to be number one. I know some of you writing exams, you want to be the top in the class, right? We want to be the first, even in your workplace. You want to be recognized by, you know, people and all that, you know. But Jesus is saying, you know, if it's my choice, right, that kind of pathos Jesus is talking about. So he uses the word doulos, right? Doulos, it means it's a service, a servant, but is a captured servant. In other words, the first one, this servant volunteers and says, you know, I want to serve because I'm excited. I'm filled with the joy of Christ. But Jesus uses the word, if you want to be first, if you want to be recognized as first, he says you need to be doulos. In other words, captured service. Captured service means you're a slave, you're captured by your master. Either you serve or you die. There is no other than that, my friend. That's the function of a captured servant. He's very steadfast. He does not quit because I belong to my master. Either I serve him. If I'm not serving him, I've gone to the grave. And that's what Jesus is saying. And this is what Jesus wants the disciples to be, my friend. And not to just give, you know, 5% of our time or 10% of our time, but he says we need to be doulos, right? By saying, I serve Jesus alone. I serve Jesus alone. Wherever I am in my workplace, I just want to serve my God. The way I do things, I want to serve my Lord. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. That doesn't, the person doesn't quit, right? That there is no complaint. And then it's a surrendered service. In other words, as Jesus used the word, not my will, but the will of the Father. Right? It's not because, you know, I want to do because I feel empty, right? If I do something, then I feel good about me. No, not because of that. Because I want to do the will of my Father. And those were the words of Jesus, right? He came to do the will of the Father. It's a surrendered, it's a selfless service, and it's serving the body of Christ. Doulos. Look at our service today, right? When I say service, the kind of ministries you and I are involved, even myself as a pastor, do I see myself doulos, right? Do I see myself as a diakonos, deacon, serving God voluntarily, serving God wholeheartedly? Either I serve or I die. I am not going to quit. I just want to serve God wherever He has placed me. Selfless. Not my agenda, but His agenda. Not my will, but His will. I think that's what Jesus is expecting. You know, sometimes we are so happy because we do some things in the church, which is wonderful, my friend. But I think God expects us, you know, to be wholeheartedly surrendered to Him. I'm going to finish with this last one. And Jesus talks about the sacrificial service, and He Himself was a great example, right? And He finishes it verse 28. Let's look at verse 28. He says, you know, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus is using the word serve, diakonos, and He's using the word ransom. So in other words, Jesus is saying, you know, I'm not captured, right? But I gave myself. And I wanted to give it fully to God. I did not hold anything to myself. You read it about it in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 7 and 8. Right, He gave Himself. He humbled Himself to the cross. And that was Jesus. Can you imagine? He just gave. He wanted to do the will of the Father. When I was preparing the sermon, when you look at the first slide, you see, you know, the washing of the feet. Probably I might have said, you know, when Jesus was washing the feet of the people, can you imagine how He would have felt? Right? He knew everything. Probably when He went to wash the feet of John, He would have been happy because He knows, you know, John is a good guy. Right? He's always there beside me, just leaning, trying to support me. Maybe He looked at Matthew, when He went to Matthew. He knows, yeah, Matthew is a tax collector, but he's also a nice guy. But can you imagine if you were Jesus wanting to wash the feet of Peter, it will be a struggle. You know why? This guy is going to deny me 3 times. You want to wash? You want me to wash that guy's feet? If you know beforehand that this guy is the one who's going to deny you, will you wash the feet of Judas Iscariot? Because you know that guy is going to sell me, betray me for 30 silver coins. It will be difficult, my friend. Can you imagine Jesus washing the feet of Simon the Zealot? Because Simon the Zealot always wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire. I have a radical in my group, and how can I wash the feet of Simon? Jesus could have thought, a second thought, my friend. He gave, he said, I just want to serve. Willingly, right? I'm not going to hold back anything. Selfless in my service. And he uses the word like litron. It means, right, ransom, to pay the price that you and I cannot pay. That's the meaning of the word ransom, my friend, that you and I cannot pay to save ourselves. The word is used in a deliverance form. In other words, you are captured. There is no choice. That's the end of yourself. We were just singing a couple of songs ago, right? We have come to an end of ourselves. There's no redemption. There's no one to save us. And so Jesus gave his life voluntarily, my friend. He gave his life because he loves us, to save us. He could have said, this guy is going to deny me. But no, even though he's going to deny me, but I still love him. He's going to betray me, but I'm still going to wash his feet. He could be a rebel, but I want to do what God has called me to do. I want to be faithful to God's call. And that's Jesus, my friend. I think that's what Jesus did on the cross for us, right? He gave his life for us, not for position, not for greatness, because he loves us, each and every one of us. I want to finish with this story. I had a statistic, but I'm not going to show the statistics. I don't know how many of you might have heard this story. It's about a famous violinist, and he was in a concert hall. So that was his day to perform. He was very famous, and so people so excited to hear him play. So the concert hall was, you know, filled. A lot of people were just excited because this guy, great guy, is going to perform. So he came with his violin, and he started playing. You know, people were just amazed by the way he was playing, and there was total silence. They were just admiring, enjoying. At the same time, they were amazed. And when he finished it, you know, people erupted, right? And they just stand in ovation and just clapping, you know, nonstop. So the violinist, you know, people, you know, and they were just screaming, and because he played like a masterpiece. After playing, he went back to his room, to the stage. And he said he wanted to play again. So he went. He played again. Perfect. Right? There was no mistake at all. People were just, hey, you know, this guy, what is he up to? He's playing so beautiful. And they were just enjoying. You know, there was a lot of people were just excited. They were just standing and just screaming. It was so wonderful. Even they were just standing. And it went on a couple of times. So the organizers, once he was done, you know, he said, you know, why did you do a couple of times? You would have actually done the first time and then it said, you know, wonderful. I've got, you know, the support of the crowd, and that's what I need. You know, I'm a celebrity now. You could have just easily, you know, left the stage. He said, you know, I played. You know why? He said, when I played the first time, I saw someone who was sitting in the crowd. I saw when I played the first time, everyone stood except that particular person. And that was my master, the one who taught me. I came back and I played again. Everyone stood and I saw my master was not standing. I came back the third time and I played. People were so excited. I saw again and my master was not standing. I played and I played until finally when I saw my master standing, I realized that I have fulfilled, that I've done a well done job to the joy of my master, my friend. You know, he was not excited because people were just clapping, you know, and giving him a standing ovation. He was just waiting to fulfill the desire of the master, because I serve the master when he stands and I know I've done well. And today, my friend, I think that's the way we should be. It's not because, you know, someone has said good about me. I want my master to stand and say, "Thou good and faithful servant." Let me tell you, that's what we need, my friend. That's what we want, right? People will just clap and just applaud. But I think we need Christ to say, "Thou good and faithful servant. You're good. You're a diakonos. You're a doulos. You're somebody like me." Let's pray. Famous violinist could have just left the stage. What a difference, right? It doesn't make a difference if my master doesn't stand. I want the support, the praise of 99.9%. He could have said, you know, "That is what I need." But he did not. He was not looking at the crowd. He was looking at the master. He was playing again and again, because until my master stands and he recognizes my ministry, then I'll say, "I've done well." Today we live in a world when people appreciate, we feel good. That's wonderful. I'm not saying no, my friend. But let's work as the way Paul says. I run the race looking at Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Who are we serving today? None of us should think that we are serving NCAC. We are thinking we are serving Jesus Christ. And I'm going to serve until my master stands and acknowledges me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy of serving you. And we know, Lord, that you know that we can do the best. Lord, you could have, that master could have stood, Lord, at the first performance himself, but he knew that violinist, that student of yours, can do much more better than that. Help us, Lord, not to be satisfied because we have done, but Lord, help us, Lord, to be satisfied only when Christ is satisfied. And help us, Lord, to be fervent. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And help us, Lord, to be like you, sacrificial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.